Lord Chen, wearing the wine-red coat of a convocate, walked among the purple ludoi blossoms in his courtyard. The spring day was unseasonably hot and sultry, and he felt prickles of sweat beneath his collar. Around him on all four sides loomed the tall Naiad-style gables of the Chen Palace, the center of the power, money, privilege, and duty that had surrounded Maurice Chen from the hour of his birth. A tangible reminder of his status, his importance, and his position within the empire. Gravel crunched beneath his mirror-polished shoes. The beige stone of the palace glowed in the bright sun. Birds called from overhead. The heavy, sweet scent of the flowers oppressed him. He rehearsed his arguments in his head. Then he rehearsed them again. Lord Chen approached a bronze statue of a maiden wearing an elaborate formal gown of a fashion that had gone out of style a millennium ago. Near the statue was an old Lyon servant with a tray, laying out the refreshments Chen had ordered, a pot of tea with two cups, alongside a dish of muffins, pastries, and sweets. Suddenly, Chen felt the need for something stronger. "Bring me Mig brandy," he said. The Lyon bowed, his feathery hair waving in the spring air.
"Do you wish me to bring the bottle, my lord?"
Lord Chen fought impatience. Did the creature think he'd be swigging a whole bottle of brandy in his garden in the middle of the afternoon?
"Bring it to me in a glass." "Right away, my lord."
The servant brought him the drink on a salver, and Lord Chen tossed it off in a single gulp. A pleasing fire coursed its way down his gullet. He returned the glass to the salver and looked up to see his daughter, Terza, approaching from amid the blossoms. Terza seemed to float over the path in an air of unhurried tranquility. On the sunny, sultry day, she wore a lacy white summer dress that contrasted with the long black river of hair that fell past her shoulders. Her expression was serene, without being insipid, her almond eyes acute, without being intrusive. Besides which, she was quite frankly beautiful, because, Lord Chen thought, she was a Chen, the product of millennia of breeding, of education, of taste, now gliding toward him through the palace garden of her ancestors. She looked at the glass he'd placed on the salver. "It is a hard day?" she asked. "Not yet," he thought. But he gestured with one hand in an equivocal way. "Not worth discussing," he said. "You weren't at the ministry today?" Terza held a post in the Ministry of Right and Dominion, the civilian bureaucracy that served the fleet. If she'd come from work, she'd have worn the brown tunic of a civil servant. "I did some work from home," she said. She was not only a high-ranking official, but a high-ranking peer, and there was little pressure to spend time in the office. The servant drew a chair back from the small table and offered it to Terza, and she thanked him and seated herself. Then the Lyon helped Chen to his seat.
"I have tea," he said. "Unless you'd prefer something stronger." "Tea would be lovely."
The servant poured. A rich, smoky odor filled the air, the scent of the first cutting from the family tea plantation in the Tobaito Highlands. Terza opened a napkin, and the fine linen wafted over her lap.
"Thank you, Ta Na," Chen said,
and the servant ambled back into the house.
"How is mother?" Terza asked. "I've heard no complaints from Sandama," Chen said. "So I suppose she's doing well."
She cocked her head and looked at him.
"Are you lonely?"
He was, actually, and had been for years, ever since his wife had left Zansha rather than live with the family tragedy. But he smiled and took her hand.
"Not as long as you're here."
Terza smiled and squeezed his hand.
"And you have grandchildren to keep you young?"
The grandchildren, he thought, who are part of the problem. But he smiled again.